What we're going to be learning today is understanding why social media is an important part of an event communication plan. So I think a lot of times brands and companies, when they think of an event communication plan, they're thinking about PR, they might be thinking about advertising dollars, maybe out of home billboards and things like that. But I really think that social media is a way to get the most bang for your buck if you use it correctly. I'll go into a little bit of how we at Legoland create event-specific content and then share some best practices for live streaming video, content creation, community management, and real time, and then how I work alongside our public relations team to maximize reach. So when you're starting to look at your event or grand opening, you want to create a timeline. So we at Legoland separate it into three separate things. That's pre-launch, and that's where we educate our followers on what they're going to be expecting out of the event or grand opening. Getting followers excited, so creating that kind of content that really gets your followers engaged and ready for whatever you're trying to sell them or whatever your event will be, and then teasing your event as well. And that is done for us usually like 12 months prior to the event, up to a month prior to the event. And then the launch phase, that's where we want to make our followers feel a part of our event, even if they can't be there. So we'll often do live streams, a lot of online interaction in real time, maybe perhaps during a live stream, and then real time photo and video. And that's 1 month prior to the event, up to the event. And post-launch, this is where you really have to remember that your job is not over once your event or grand opening is over. You want to create a sustained strategy to ensure that once your event isn't over, the conversation doesn't stop. People are still thinking about your event. They're still thinking about your grand opening. And that can be done through recap videos, photos, and then depending on the type of event or grand opening that you're doing, you want to make sure that your product, or in our case, an accommodation or attraction, is still on the top of people's mind and that doesn't die. And that is opening, and I have a question mark here because your sustained strategy should really be ongoing. The couple of examples that I'm going to show you, the first one being Legoland Beach Retreat, which is our newest accommodation, we're still doing our sustained strategy over a year later. So I'm going to give you a couple examples, like I said, of grand openings at Legoland Florida Resort. The first one is Legoland Beach Retreat. Like I said, this is our newest accommodation. And our first phase is pre-launch. So when we were doing this phase of our strategy, one of our biggest issues was really educating our followers on what this was. Because we already have an existing hotel, and that's our premium accommodation. It's a lot more expensive, it's indoors, and you really have a different experience. Where Legoland Beach Retreat is an outdoor experience, I think of it more like a camping atmosphere. We have a cove that has bungalows in it, and you actually stay in your own Lego house. So it's a much different experience that people get, but people weren't understanding what that meant. When you hear accommodation, you think of hotel. You don't think of staying in a Lego house. So I'm going to show you a couple of videos that we did throughout the different phases to educate our followers, get them excited. But first, I just want to show you step by step how we think of creating video at Legoland. So first, we figure out what our goal is. In this case, it was educating our followers on what the accommodation was. And then we decide on the level of production. So you guys may think, okay, you work for Legoland, you guys have a ton of budget for production. Wrong. A lot of our videos are shot on a cell phone. But in this case, I felt like these videos needed a bit more production work because we do not have an in-house videographer or an in-house photographer. So in this case, I hired a third-party videographer, but my team worked to create the video. So then we sat down and concepted what the video would be. The first one I'm going to show you was an area of the accommodation that I felt like was really cool, and that's our drive-through check-in. So at this hotel, you actually don't go in to a lobby to check in like you normally do, even here. You drive through, which is great for parents because you don't have to get your kids out of the car and lug your baggage around. You just drive right through. So this was our teaser, and people got really excited about it. The media picked it up because they thought it was a really new concept that no one had done before. And then we had to sit down and write a script in ShotList. In this case, you'll see there is no script. It's just visual. But we did write a ShotList. So I would say when you guys are creating video, think about visually what you want it to look like and write down those shots. So for us, it's a video, and you'll see, of the girl driving through the drive-thru checkout in one of our Lego cars. So we physically wrote down, you know, get a shot of her back going through, get a shot of her front going through. That way at the end, when we're sitting there editing the video, we have all the pieces, and it's just a matter of putting them together. So you don't want to go into a video shoot like, okay, I have this vision in my mind and we'll make it work when you get to the video shoot, because that is the worst idea you could possibly have. Video shoots take like forever. I just did one the other day and it was a full day shoot and we already had concepted everything. And it was a 1 minute video that took 9 hours to shoot. So you really want to make sure you're prepared. And then we casted the talent. Sometimes we go through a talent agency, but in this case, I just happened to know a family in the area, and the girl was really cute, and she was willing to do the video, so just gave her some Legoland tickets and called it a day. So this is the first video.
Welcome to Legoland Beach Retreat, checking in.
Okay, and then I'm going to show you another video. So what we found after that video is there's still a lot more to the accommodation that people didn't know about. The problem that we are facing in the pre-launch phase is that the whole accommodation wasn't built yet. So how do we get footage of that without the accommodation being built? So in this video, we knew what was going to be built, but we couldn't visually show it. So in this video, we decided to take a room full of kids and have them brainstorming what they thought would be a cool accommodation. Obviously, the scripting is exactly what the accommodation was going to be, but getting people thinking, you know, visually putting in their head what it's gonna look like by what they say. So here's the next video.
Okay, thanks everyone for coming today. We're going to talk about what kids want in a vacation destination.
What about a place that looks like it's a bunch of houses made out of Lego bricks?
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. What about you? What do you think kids would like?
How about a big lighthouse? One that really works. But it looks like it's made out of Lego bricks. Wait, guys, there's already a place with all of that. Legoland Beach Retreat!
So that kind of gave people a little bit of teaser of what they can expect, even though they couldn't see it visually. So then we went into our launch phase. And so for this, we did a media event. So I worked really closely with our PR team. We didn't invite outside guests to this. It was just media, bloggers, things like that. And our events, we worked with our events team to put together a really cool ceremony. It involved some local cheerleaders, and they did some fun songs. I think we had a couple Beatles songs in there. And then you see the smoke. We shot off Lego brick fireworks. So that was really cool. But I live streamed that on Facebook. So that's really a way that I was able to get our followers to be a part of the event. And then we also created a hashtag to encourage online conversation. So since the media was there, we had bloggers there. We wanted them to start the buzz about this, accommodation. And so we used the hashtag Brick Beach. And we actually trended on the day of launch with that hashtag. So that was really cool because we were able to get the buzz going around Legoland Beach Retreat before anyone could really even experience it. So I highly recommend creating a hashtag that people can use that's unique to whatever your event or grand opening is to get that online conversation going. And then during the launch phase, and like I said, this was like a month prior up to the actual event, we still felt like, hey, now we gave people a little bit of teaser of what they could expect, but visually they didn't see it. So we sat down and thought, what are the 5 key things about Legoland Beach Retreat that are unique as an accommodation that we can tell people about and get them excited? So we created a series of 5 videos where there is a girl that's our host. I forgot to tell you guys, Legoland, if you haven't been, is really built for kids. So all of our marketing is done with kids in mind. We don't have much marketing that involves adults because we really are built for kids. When you come, you're probably not going to want to go if you're not bringing a daughter, a niece or a nephew, or a grandkid. So this girl was kind of the host of the video series, and we released it like one video per week for about a month, a little over a month because it was 5. And then we went over what are the key things about Legoland Beach Retreat that people could see. And after, let me show the video first, and then I'll tell you. So this is just one of the videos that we did, one of the 5.
Hi, it's Emma Grace, and I'm back to show you more of what you can't miss at Legoland Beach Retreat. Today, I'm showing you where you can make a splash during your stay. Our giant pool is located right next to the lighthouse. So jump in, chill out, and cool off. If staying dry is more your style, you can play in the sand or on our play area. Parents, be sure to check out Brick's Beach Bar with a menu of made-to-order food, drinks, and creative cocktails only steps away from the pool deck.
Stay tuned and I'll show you another reason why Legoland Beach Retreat is the perfect vacation destination!
So what was really cool about those videos is after the fact, we had a lot of people coming to stay, and they actually said they chose Beach Retreat over our hotel, which is our premium accommodation, because their kids saw those videos on YouTube, and they were, like, really excited about it. So I think when you're able to put yourself in front of people, you're able to market your accommodation well, you can outdo your competitors. For us, it was kind of outdoing ourselves with our premium product, but Beach Retreat was our value tier hotel, and people were coming there simply because they saw things about it online. So you want to make sure that you're in the online conversation however you can be. And then our next phase was phase 3 post-launch. So even after our live stream was over, like I said, our job wasn't done. So we had to come up with messaging that we stick with even still to this day. So we decided to go with Legoland Beach Retreat is the place where summer never ends. And that's been really valuable to us because we're able to leverage that for the winter months when people up here just want to get away for a vacation. So we stick with that messaging, making sure that people know this is a retreat that you can get away with. No matter if you live in the north and it's snowing, come down here and stay with us where it's summer all year long. Another thing that we try to do, too, is anytime there's new things coming to that specific accommodation, how can we leverage that? The next video I'm going to show you, it's really short. This is an example of something that we shot on a cell phone, so something anyone can do. We introduced our character, Shark Suit Guy. And it happened to be during Shark Week. So anytime that you can leverage conversation that's already happening, we were able to really get in the online conversation because Shark Week was already happening. It was so easy for us to fit in. And then it gave people another reason to come stay because they wanted to see Shark Suit Guy and take a picture with him. So again, this was shot on a cell phone. And it looks like it, but... So as you can see, not a lot of production went into that. We just had Shark Suit Guy dance around, and it got a ton of views, and people were sharing it because they thought he was so cute. The next video, like I said, we leveraged Legoland Beach Retreat a lot when there's storms up here. This is another example of not a lot of production. We shot it on a cell phone, basically in a closet in one of our offices. And we just used some minifigures. It's very basic, but this, I believe, got almost 500,000 views, and people were sharing it all over the place. I think the copy was, tag a friend who needs to get out of the snowstorm. We used it when there was a huge storm last year up here. So as you can see, super simple, but people loved it because it was relevant with what was going on in the online conversation already. I'm going to try to go a little bit faster because he told me I'm halfway through already. The next example is the Great Lego Race. So this is our brand new coaster, and it is an actual VR coaster. Really cool. Is there any Disney employees in the room? No. I would argue that this is cooler than a lot most Disney rides. Like, it is really cool. So if you ever come down, you guys got to ride it for sure. So this was very interesting because we had a challenge of educating people on exactly what this was. A lot of people, when you think of VR, you think you're in a simulator and just sitting there. But this is a roller coaster where you're wearing a headset and experiencing this virtual reality world where you become a Lego minifigure. And it's really cool. You actually look down and your hands look like they're minifigure hands. Really cool. So throughout the whole journey, you're racing against other minifigures. But it was a real challenge to get into the market and educate people on what they could be experiencing. At this time, the ride wasn't built. So all we had was ride footage to show people. So we first went out with these screenshots and people went nuts because they were super excited, but still a lot of questions at what they could experience. Then we gave them a video of just ride footage. But again, if I'm a consumer, I might think this is just a simulator. Have to play the whole thing, you get the gist of it. But so that was still our challenge. Then phase two was our launch phase. We did a live stream very similar to Legoland Beach Retreat, where we did an actual full production with our events team. It was really fun. It was specifically a media event, but this time we did a live stream as well, but we didn't live stream on our phone. We did a full production live stream, so I had a camera out there, camera crew out there with different angles of the stream going on, which was really cool. We decided not to be super interactive for the live stream because it was just people watching things. But people were able to ask questions, and then after the fact, we went through and answered them. Like I said before, though, I'm going to show you this video. Since we still had not gone out with any video showing people what the ride actually looked like, we did this video, which was split graphics of the ride and then back to kids actually experiencing it. So people got the concept that, hey, this is a roller coaster that I'm riding. We didn't pay him to say that. So once we released that video, people started to get it. Okay, this is a coaster. And then we went into our post-launch, and our messaging, as you saw in the video, put the pedal to the plastic, and we still try to use that today. It's kind of funny. We're Lego. It's not a metal pedal. It's plastic. So the whole concept of this ride is, do you have what it takes to beat the other minifigures? Spoiler alert, you always beat the minifigures at the end. But so that was really fun. And then we did release another video, which I had some technical difficulties, so I can't show it. It's similar to that, but at the end we released some quotes from critics. I think that's really important anytime you can to get that unbiased feedback, because of course, I'm going to tell you that everything at Legoland is awesome. But if you get some feedback from a mom who wrote it or media that are saying, hey, this is incredible, one of the best VR rides I've ever ridden, people are more likely to say, hey, I want to try that because someone actually wrote it and thinks it's cool. So that's it for the examples. And then I'm going to go into some tips for live streaming. And this is where I'll show you some throwbacks to my work with PlayStation and Disney. So first is, you always want to have a goal. I know live streaming is huge and I highly recommend it, especially with Facebook's algorithm. You want to encourage conversation and live streams just do that. But if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a purpose, I would say don't do it. Like, don't just live stream just to live stream. Have a goal. What can you do? And remember, these can always be scaled down. Just because we're a huge theme park doesn't mean you can't do it for a bank grand opening or a hotel. If you were doing a bank grand opening, I would say maybe do a Q&A where you can talk to one of your head tellers and people could learn about what are the benefits of your bank versus someone else. So there's always ways around it. This is all scalable, but have a goal for what that is. If you're selling something, if you're just educating people, make sure you know that. And then decide on the level of interaction between you and your followers. Like I said, with these two live streams, we didn't interact much, but I would suggest that you do. If you're doing a Q&A, make sure that people, you have someone there. So you'll probably need at least two people, one running the live stream and then one communicating with your guests and answering those questions. So they really feel like they're interacting with you in real time. Number three, I cannot stress enough, have the right equipment. I can't tell you the number of times I look at live streams and it's shaky and I'm getting sick because someone doesn't have a tripod or have a stabilizer. We just got this really cool stabilizer, which I highly recommend. I think it's called DIGI or D-I-G-I is the company. Has anyone used it? They're amazing. Like, we've been using it, and it's been great for stabilizing our live streams if we're not using a full production or if we're not using a tripod. Another thing is always have an extra battery on hand or something to charge your phone. There's nothing worse than doing a live stream and then your phone going out in the middle of it. Super embarrassing. And then next, I always like to stream from a MiFi. Wherever you are, you don't know if your Wi-Fi is going to be a little spotty, and that's also super embarrassing for your live stream to pause. So I would highly suggest that. And then do a run through. For us, that's super important for these productions because I want to know where I need to be aiming the camera. If there's fireworks going off in the right, I don't want to have to quickly move over there and then people either miss it or they're like, okay, that was really shaky. So do a live stream so you know what to expect. I can't stress that enough. And then listen to follower feedback. So after, look at the comments. What are people saying? Do they want to hear something else that you didn't give them? Did they want you to answer more questions? And sometimes they give you really good ideas of what you can do next time. So definitely listen to your followers. And then I just wanted to give you some fun examples from the past. So anyone a PlayStation fan in here? One person. Wow, okay. I worked for PlayStation through the agency, and they actually flew me out here to New York City for the PlayStation VR launch to live stream that. And that was really fun. The goal of that was to make people feel a part of the launch if they weren't there, and then get the people in New York City to actually come out to the launch that was held here. So I did some behind-the-scenes footage of our followers playing on the new VR systems and then what their experiences was like. In the middle is Sean Layden, so I did some interviews with him. And then just got some shots of the product, and people really loved it. They were really engaged. We interacted with followers in real time during all of that. The second one is PlayStation Experience. PlayStation does a big game show every year in California, and that's just a time where people can come out and try the latest games, meet developers, and things like that. So that was really interactive as well. I was going around and asking people that were watching, hey, what developer do you want to see? What game do you want to see? And that was really fun. We had a lot of viewers for that. That was all done on a phone. For Walt Disney World, you can see in the top, that was a full production live stream. So we had about 8 producers for that. There was at least 5 cameras, and we did run-throughs for about a week ahead of time. They were going through and reading scripts. And that was a really cool experience because we weren't just live streaming a parade. We were going back and forth from a parade to people actually hearing from a show director about what it took to create this parade. So people were able to get a behind-the-scenes look that they wouldn't be able to see. And I will say, for those of you who are like, well, wouldn't that make people not want to go see the parade in person because they've already seen it? Actually, it does the opposite, because you're not going to get the same experience in person as you do from a computer screen. So it makes people really excited for their next vacation to come see it. The next one was with HP. They released a 3D printer. This is an example of I should have done a run through, because at the last minute they told me, oh, we're going to have you walk around the show floor and get an inside look at what the printer looks like. Was not prepared for this. And I was like pushing my way through media, and it was a little bit of a disaster. So I wish that we had time to do a run through. And then this is just a picture of us at Legoland Beach Retreat grand opening. As you can see, we had scalable images of what the bungalows look like, the Lego bungalows. And then that's a picture of our team. Last is working with your PR team. So I work really closely with our PR team. And you want to make sure that you're aligning. Okay. You want to make sure you're aligning your messaging with your PR team. There's nothing worse than having 2 different conversations going on. And people getting really confused at what you're really trying to say. So align with your PR team on your messaging, and then create a plan that works for both social and PR. A lot of times for us, we're actually announcing some fun news, hopefully tomorrow or Monday, so stay tuned. But a lot of times PR wants to give media an exclusive. Kind of sucks for me, but at the same time, I work really well with them to say, okay, I'm going to go out with this immediately after that exclusive is over with. Because you want to make sure that people are finding out your news from your channels, not from someone else. And then I'm able to work with them to identify key influencers. So at these media events for the grand openings, I can work with the bloggers and the media influencers and make sure, hey, this is the hashtag that we're using. Make sure you're posting, and get them excited to work with us on social media as well. And then last but not least, work together. I can't stress that enough. Like I said, we work closely on a regular basis, making sure that we're aligned in our messaging and that we're just really helping each other out in any way that we can, because we gotta be thinking the same. Our goals are the same. We wanna sell more. We wanna interact with our followers more. So yeah. Next, I want to do a fun little quiz. We'll see if it works. So if you take out your phones and go to Kahoot.it. Okay, so kind of explain what it is. There's 5 questions, and you should be able to. Okay, so when you go to the app, put in that pin. So there's going to be 5 questions, and it's going to do your scoring based off your timing. The answers are really simple. They're just things that we talked about, but it'll go based on who answered it first. And the top 5 people at the end, I have minifigures. Okay, so first question, what's the first phase of a social media event plan? First phase, pre-launch, before event, or event launch? All right, a lot of you got it right. So far, winning is Kayla. We'll see at the end. Question two, what was not one of the Legoland grand openings we went over? Legoland Ninjago World, Legoland Beach Retreat, or the Great Lego Race? Only one person got it wrong. Kayla is still winning. Okay, number three, why create an event hashtag? It's cute, something to remember the event by, encourage online conversation, or use it for office selfies. Rachel is now in the lead. Okay, question four, which was not a tip for live streaming? Have a goal, decide on level of interaction, have the right equipment, or don't use an iPhone. Rachel, still winning. Last question. What's one way to work well with your PR team? One, don't talk to them. Communicate the day before the event, focus on social media, or align your messaging. Wait, are you Rachel? Oh! Rachel, no! Okay, let's see. Okay, it only shows the top three. I have five minifigures. Okay, Kayla, where's Kayla? Okay, let me give these to you. Kayla, Wes, and Claiborne. Raise your hands. Okay, these are from our Series 18 minifigures. They're super cute. Your top five and your top five. Okay, I'll give you guys one too. Wait, who are the other ones that were the... Okay. Where was the other one? Back there. Okay. Rachel, I'm disappointed. Oh, shoot.
We'll start with Q&A now. I'm just going to pass the mic around. So raise your hand. We have 8 minutes. I'm assuming I'm not going to get to everyone, so sorry. And
raise your hand if you're
Yeah, just raise your hand, and I'll bring the mic over to you. Say your name, where you work, and where you came from. Great. One up here.
My name is Jan Michael, and I'm a corporate communications specialist with Panasonic Avionics Corporation. And I had a question about the Shark Week stuff that you guys did. And how do you know when you can and can't tag on with specific hashtags? So, like, I know Super Bowl, things like that, you can't just jump in on. How did you guys know you could do the Shark Week?
Yeah, that's interesting, figuring out whether you can use the hashtag for a specific thing. For this in particular, I don't know if we actually use the hashtag, but what I normally do is, and I highly suggest this, find a... group in your area on Facebook, or it doesn't really need to be in your area. I'm like on Orlando social media group, and it's a bunch of social media professionals in your area. And sometimes people know more legality things than I do. Like, that's definitely not my expertise. So I'll usually go on there and say, hey, has anyone seen an issue with this? What's the best way to go about it? Because you can still be in the online conversation without using the actual hashtag. But that's definitely a great question. It's something that we have to go case by case and just ask people who are experts in that area.
Is it working? Hello? Hi, my name is Megan McElyea. I am from the Houston, Texas area, and I am the social media strategist for Germania Insurance. My biggest question is for Facebook live streaming.
Yeah.
Some of our senior leadership have strong opinions against it. Is there anything that you would recommend as far as talking points to get this kind of barrier broken?
Can I ask why?
As far as an insurance company, it's more of a security measure on liability issues, and I'm not really sure. They have concerns that I don't understand, so I don't know if there's some, you know.
I guess it depends on what you're live streaming. Like I said before, make sure that you have a goal, but you can show them statistics on how well a live stream performs and how much reach they're going to get. So if their big goal is to sell something or educate people, you're going to get so many more eyeballs on it. And I think that's what's really helped me in the past convince leadership on things is giving them those numbers like, hey, if your interest is getting eyeballs on this, this is what we have to do. And most of the time, they'll listen.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm the content strategist for ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, so also out of Orlando.
Okay, cool.
We have a lot of tasting events that we like to live stream, but we get a lot of flack from people that don't want to be on video that we happen to catch on stream.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any way of like the pre-approval process or how do you work that out?
So for ours in particular, what we do, and it saves us in a legal capacity, is we put up signs that say, hey, we're taping right now. You could be on. Another thing, I would say you could put that in your store, honestly. But you shouldn't get much flack if you're not necessarily showing their full profile. That goes the same way for if we're getting photos that we use online. If we're like showing the back of a kid, it's fine. We don't have to get their consent for that. But I would say try to put up some signage. That's what helps us to say, hey, you know, we're live streaming. Too bad if you're on video.
We have time for one more question if anyone has one. Yeah, great.
Hi, I'm Krista Maffei, and I'm at Dartmouth College. And I was wondering, since your main audience is children and also parents, what platforms do you find most useful? And are there any sort of legal or ethical issues around using social media for children?
Yeah, we definitely are most active on Facebook and Instagram. We do, like you said, we are marketing to kids, but that's really hard because they're not on social media. So it's more of marketing to their parents, and we have to find where that is. We found our demographic is a lot of times moms because that's who most often is planning the vacations, and that's where they are, is Facebook and Instagram. As far as ethical issues, there are a lot of issues on YouTube that we found, and that's specifically on an advertisement standpoint. If we're having ads that come before a beer commercial, or unfortunately we've had an ad that apparently was flagged on something to do with pornography, and that was not a good thing to happen. So you really have to work, for us, it's our media agencies, and work with them to see what are the ways around that, how can we protect ourselves legally to make sure that our advertisements are running with things that we stand for, that we're okay with, that are child friendly.